Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We appreciate your attendance and your presence with us. We pray from the very outset of the service that we'll know the Lord's presence with us, that he'll bless our time around the Word, and then a little later that he'll bless our time around the table. Remember that this is Palm Sunday, the Sabbath before Easter Sunday, that Sabbath when we're mindful especially of the Savior's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Just read to you one familiar verse, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, that great promise for prayer, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. May that promise encourage your heart. We're going to think today of an example of prayer, a great challenge at our hearts, but may the Lord lay that desire and that burden upon all of our hearts today. We're going to sing the opening verses of the 40th Psalm as we commence our praise this Sabbath morning. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. We're singing down to the end of the sixth verse. It's seven verses in total that we will sing together, and we're standing as we sing, please.
Amen.
We're just going to bow together in prayer. Let's draw nigh to the Lord and seek his face. Father in heaven, we do come to thee in the attitude of prayer, thankful we can enter into your presence. Very glad, Father, of the privilege to be in thy house on this Sabbath morning. Want to pray, Father, you'll pour out your Spirit upon us. Your word says that they that worship thee must worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the truth that we have in your word. We want to ask, Father, that the Spirit of God will come down upon the gathering. We pray the Holy Ghost might come down even now upon all of our lives. Fill us full of the Holy Spirit, every believer, in this service today. We ask, Father, this will be a meeting marked by the power of the Spirit. May the Spirit guide us today. You've assured us in your word that the Spirit will lead us into all truth. We want to pray, Father, that you'll guide us through every part of this service, especially the ministry of thy word, guide in the things that will be said. We pray, Father, that the Spirit will come and teach us today. We ask thee that the Spirit will come and open the Scriptures. Holy Spirit, shine thou upon the book we read. Gild its holy pages with the light we need. I want to pray for a message from thyself. Our prayer, Father, is that each of us will be taught of God. We think of the words that we have sung together. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. We acknowledge, Father, we can only wait before thee, especially in prayer, as you enable us by the power of thy Spirit. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We confess that weakness today. We ask thee to help us even now, Father, as we seek thee and intercede in this opening prayer. May the hand of God be upon us. We ask that we would know what it is to pray today in the Holy Spirit. We pray the Spirit would prompt us as well, bring to our mind those people that we should pray for, those petitions that it's appropriate for us to bring just at this time. I want, Father, to lift their hearts to thee in worship and in adoration. We remember that you're the sovereign God. We confess that you're the only God, that beside thee there is none other. We rejoice today that you're our God. We thank you that the Scriptures tell us that God is love. We thank you, Father, for your love that has been displayed towards us at Calvary. Thank you for each one in the meeting that knows Christ as their Savior. We thank you that you sent your Son to be our Savior. We rejoice today, Father, that we have experienced thy so great salvation. We thank you that we've been justified freely by your grace. We rejoice that our sins are forgiven, that they're cleansed beneath the blood of Christ. I want to pray, Father, that might be true of all in this service. We pray especially for those in the meeting and their families that are not saved, that are not able to say that they're ready for eternity. Lord, speak to them today especially through the ministry of your word. We pray for the gospel service tonight. Ask for the hand of God to be upon it in blessing and in power. We pray, Father, bring in the lost. We look out upon our city. We pray for a greater vision of the spiritual needs of this city. Many that are religious, and yet they're still lost in their sins. They're sincere, and yet they're sincerely wrong as far as salvation is concerned. Lord, come upon this city by your Spirit. We ask of thee, we pray that Armagh City might be a place of revival, a place that knows the visitation of God in great power upon it. Give us a blessed time, a powerful time tonight in your house. Thank you for last Sabbath evening. We thank you for all the children and their participation. We thank you, Father, for the program and how our hearts were blessed. Thank you for answering prayer for our workers, for the congregation, and bringing in so many visitors connected with the children. We rejoice, Father, in the time that we had, the blessing that meeting was. Bless those works among the children. Want to ask, Father, that you would speak to the hearts of the boys and girls. Even over the summer, we pray that we might hear of some of the children being saved. We pray that we'll hear of how they're going on with God, how they're being used even as a witness in their own homes and in their own families. Lord, remember us through the meeting here this morning. We pray for the power of God. Lord, come and speak. We remember young Samuel, the prayer that he offered. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, make us ready. Give us ears to hear. Come and speak to all our hearts this day. Remember the time around the table too. Thank you for the opportunity. Even as Easter approaches, we consider the sacrifice of our Savior. We're glad of the opportunity to remember the Lord and his death, how he died for us. Lord, come and touch our hearts. We pray that that might be a special time. May it be a time when the Lord himself draws near. Take away the blindness and the scales from our eyes. We pray, Father, that we'll see beyond the signs, the symbols, and that we'll see the Savior himself. Remember Mr. Spurgeon's great hymn, "If now with eyes defiled and dim, we see the signs, but see not him." So, Father, it's for sight of Christ in thy house from your word, and as we gather to receive the sacrament together, O God, we pray that we'll not leave your house today without getting a glimpse of the Savior. Remember, Father, those that grieve at this time. We're mindful of the Ramsey family, praying that you'll continue to be near to them. Mindful of the Watson family, Father, with the home calling of our sister Mrs. Watson during this past week. We pray that you'll draw near to every member of the Watson family, even today. May they know the comfort of the Lord. We thank you for the memory of our sister. Your word says the righteous shall be had an everlasting remembrance. Lord, we thank you for the Watson family and the vision they had, even to see this congregation founded those many years ago, how they were used of God, and our sister's faithful labors, even here amongst us at the organ especially. And Lord, as we think of all that have been called from us in recent days and recent years, the vacant places, we're asking that you'll send others. Lord, we pray that you'll strengthen this testimony. Send on others to take their place, to fill up those vacant spaces, that this witness might be strengthened and that it will continue. And Lord, it is our prayer. It's been our petition, Father, before we lift it to thee again, that a faithful, evangelical, a strong gospel preaching separated witness might be maintained in this place, even until the Savior comes again. So Lord, hear our cries. Do be with us today. Keep your hand upon this meeting. And we just cry again that the power of God's Spirit will come down upon us now. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading together, please, the Old Testament scriptures. It's the first book of Samuel, the 12th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're reading the latter half of that chapter. Beginning at verse 13. First Samuel 12, the 13th verse. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. And let's hear the Lord's word to our hearts today. "Now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and rebel and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. So we'll end there just at the close of the 25th verse, the very end of the chapter. The Lord will bless this reading of his word to our hearts. Think of the words there at the end of that 24th verse. It's good to consider when you're in the Lord's house. The verse says, for consider how great things he hath done for you. And that's a vital exhortation to every child of God, the great things the Lord has done for us, especially in salvation. And it's good to consider those and to thank the Lord for them when we come into his house. We take the opportunity just to extend a word of welcome to all that have gathered with us today. We appreciate your presence. We're glad to see all that have been able to come. There's some not able to be here because of ill health. Again, some that are still isolating as the holidays approach. Some folk that are away as well. We miss all of these people. We remember them in our prayers. But we extend our sincere thanks to each one of you for coming, all the children and young people. We're glad of your presence both in Sunday school and the Bible classes and now in the morning service as well. May the Lord bless you. We especially want to welcome some of Mrs. Lily Crane's family along to the service. They're visiting with us today, Mr. Fred and Mrs. Rachel Smith. That's Lily's brother and his wife. They're from Rugby. And also Mrs. Muriel Langsley, a sister of Lily's from Liverpool. We're very glad to have all of you with us in the service today. We pray the meeting will be a blessing to you, and we pray you'll have an enjoyable break here during these few days. We also take the opportunity to welcome everyone that's watching on the live stream. We're thankful for that facility to broadcast the services as well, and all that are able to listen in to the meeting this morning. We take the opportunity as well to thank all that helped last Sunday evening in all the preparations for the Parents' Night and prize-giving for the Bright Hours, all that attended that special service. We certainly were very encouraged by the attendance, by the number of visitors, very encouraged by the children and the program and their participation. So we take the opportunity just to thank everyone and thank the leaders and the workers of the Bright Hours for all of their faithful and diligent labours. Keep in mind, there's communion this morning. After this morning meeting, we will be seeking to take some precautions just in the serving of the elements. We encourage the Lord's people to stay. If you do prefer to wait until a later time to partake again of communion, we understand that. But we do encourage as many as possible to wait behind. Just to emphasize for the congregation, those listening in as well, we won't be live streaming the communion service. The live stream will be cut at the close of this service. And just sit where you are. Those that will be waiting behind, you'll have opportunity, those that are leaving, to leave during the singing of the closing hymn. But those that are waiting, just sit where you are, and we'll be able to serve the elements to you just in the seats where you are in the main service. Keep in mind the service tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting in the hall downstairs, 6:30, the gospel meeting. I'll be preaching at that service myself in the will of the Lord. Tuesday morning at 11, the two brethren, Mr. Noel Shields, Mr. Colin Maxwell, they'll be doing some outreach down in Armagh City Centre, as they have been doing regularly, almost monthly, over the last year and a half or so. We appreciate them coming, visiting Armagh. Do pray for that work. And if you can, if you have time, go down and join the brethren. That's 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Wednesday night at 8 is the midweek meeting. The preacher this coming Wednesday night will be a brother, Mr. Fred West. We encourage you to come to the meeting and encourage Fred with your presence. Remember him in his prayers as well, that the hand of the Lord will be upon him and the Lord will bless his ministry. I'm going over to England on Wednesday, God willing, to preach at an Easter conference in the church in Walsham the Willow in Suffolk. I have preached there a number of times before in the past. They have an Easter conference every year. The week leading up to Easter, they have special meetings every night with different preachers. I'll be preaching, God willing, on Wednesday night and Thursday night, and coming back on Friday. I was booked to go over and speak at the conference 2 years ago in 2020. It was just to be a short time after the introduction of the lockdown. So they're keen that we would be able to come. We had our flight and so on booked to go over at that time. EasyJet gave us a voucher, so we've been waiting for almost 2 years to use that voucher for the travel. Remember us as we go over. Pray that the Lord will grant us help in the travel. Everything will go smoothly. And we do value your prayers as well for the meetings. The Lord will guide us in the messages and give help in the delivery of them. Friday night at 8 is the Easter Convention down in the Martyrs. The preacher is the Reverend Harris, the chairman of the Mission Board. Remember that if a reasonable number from the church would like to go down, the church will put a bus on. Otherwise, arrangements will be made, particularly for the young people, to go down in cars. It is for the youth fellowship and anyone else from the church that would like to go. There is a list there in the porch. So if you would like to go on the bus, we need you to put your name down on that list today, just so that we'll be able to gauge the level of interest and see whether it would be feasible to put on a bus on a Friday evening. Just to emphasise again, we did recommend that if the bus goes, anyone travelling on the bus, it would be best to wear a mask for the journey, both down and back up again. Next Lord's Day, the 17th of April, Easter Sunday, the Bible class and Sunday school, or Bible classes at 10:40, the morning service 11:30, the gospel meeting at 6:30, the evening service preceded by the half hour of prayer, and I'll be the preacher at both of those meetings, the Lord willing. Just remind the ladies again of that meeting that has been arranged for a time of fellowship for the ladies just before the summer. That's Monday, the 16th of May, just a little over a month away in the church hall. And Miss Noreen McAfee, missionary to Uganda, will be coming to speak that night. There is a youth rally this evening in the Auchnacloy Church at 8:45. The speaker is young Andrew Irwin, a first-year student in Whitfield College, and the singer is Miss Rebecca McCauley. Our sister Joanne Greer is returning to Liberia to take up her labours there again in this incoming week. Her journey commences on Tuesday, and then she'll be staying overnight and travelling on Wednesday, arriving back in Liberia on Wednesday. So pray for Miss Greer as she returns to the mission field. It's amazing just how quickly the months of furlough go in. So remember, sister, that you'll have a smooth journey, a safe journey, that the Lord will encourage you. Remember the plans and all the work that's been engaged in to prepare for the opening of the school there in September, that the Lord will continue to prosper those labours. Keep in mind, LTBS are having some TV recordings that we'll be involved in. That's Thursday night, the 28th of April. If you'd like to go, there will be a list that will go out so that the congregation can put their names down to indicate if you're able to go along and give support with the congregation for the recording that evening. Remember as well that LTBS are opening a charity shop here in Armagh. That's going to be in Thomas Street. They're hoping to do that from the middle of this month on. Mrs. Cherie Patterson, the wife of the Reverend Andrew Patterson, will be managing the shop as she does the shop in Banbridge. Keep in mind, if you can volunteer or would like to help in that way, serve the Lord in that manner for an hour or so every week, let us know about that. They're keen to hear from the Lord's people in this area that would be willing to get involved and to help them with that new venture. We were greatly saddened as a congregation by the news of Mrs. Doris Watson's home calling late on Tuesday afternoon. Mrs. Watson's health hadn't been good for a number of months, and she'd steadily been weakling. Her funeral was on Thursday. The burial took place over at New Mills Presbyterian Church in the morning, and then there was a service of thanksgiving here in the church on Thursday afternoon. As many of you know, the Watsons had been founding members of the congregation here. It was Mr. Sam Watson that originally wrote to Dr. Paisley back in 1962, inviting him to come to Armagh to hold a gospel mission. John Watson, Mrs. Watson's son, kindly gave to the church Dr. Paisley's written reply to Sam at that time. That's framed. Remember, our brother David Bell framed that for us, along with the envelope, and it hangs in the minister's room of the church, and there's a plaque there as well in memory of Mr. Sam Watson. If you've never seen those, feel free to go in and take a little look at them. You can see Mrs. Watson as well in a couple of the pictures that's hanging just in the landing area there as well, the anniversary picture, the 50th anniversary picture, and also you can see her in one of the pictures at the opening, sitting at the organ with Mr. Paisley here in the pulpit. Mrs. Watson had been very faithful in her attendance of the church here over those years, very faithful in her ministry, especially at the organ. The Bible speaks of Jubal, and he was the father of all that could handle the harp and the organ. And Mrs. Watson certainly was in that family, in that tribe. She was able to handle very well the organ. She was involved in booking the singers for the gospel service here for a number of years as well. So we're greatly saddened by our sister's passing. We sympathise today as a congregation with the whole Watson family. Pray that they will know the presence of the Lord just at this very sad time. There has been deaths as well in the wider denomination. The Reverend Harry Cairns passed away on Tuesday past. The Reverend Cairns had ministered in a number of our congregations. He had been in Tandragee for a time. While he was in Tandragee, he held a gospel mission over at Market Hill, and it was through that gospel mission that the Market Hill congregation was formed. Mr. Cairns loved the gospel missions, was used in evangelism. His final charge was down in Omagh, and then he and Mrs. Cairns retired down to Omagh. He was in his 89th year The funeral service was yesterday down in Hillsborough. He was laid to rest beside his late wife, Irene. The Reverend Philip Kyle, his mother, Mrs. Ray Kyle, of Six Mile Cross, also passed away during the week. The Reverend Timothy Omerod conducted both of those funerals, Mrs. Kyle's funeral on Friday, the Reverend Kearns' funeral yesterday. So remember the Lord's servant, that the Lord would strengthen him just at this time. The Kyles of Six Mile Cross were connected to Dr. Paisley's family. Remember that his father was Pastor James Kyle Paisley, Mr. Paisley himself, Ian Richard Kyle Paisley, and it was in connection with the Kyles of Six Mile Cross that was included in the Paisley family name. Also, the sister-in-law of Miss Joyce Walsh, that's Joyce's brother Nigel, his dear wife Maisie, who's been unwell for some time, very sadly at a young age, called from her midst. Maisie's funeral service was in the Ardara Church yesterday afternoon as well. So to all of these folk in our wider denomination, we want to express our deepest sympathy to them as well and assure them of our prayers and support as a congregation. We offer our congratulations to Kieran and Renata McParland on the birth of their first child, a little boy that they've called Ezra. Ezra was born on Monday evening. We're delighted for Kieran and Renata. We pray the Lord will bless them. We pray the Lord will give them help as they bring this little one up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that the Lord's blessing will rest upon their family, their wider family as well, and we commend them to you also for your prayers just at this time. We're going to sing together, please, our second hymn just before we come to the word of the Lord. 629, it's a hymn about the mercy seat. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a safe retreat, 'tis found beneath the mercy seat. 629, we'll stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Just a wee word of prayer together. Yes. Thank you, Father, for our fellowship as a congregation. Your word speaks of the early church, that they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. We pray, Father, that you'll bless and deepen our fellowship together. Our prayer would be, make us a blessing the one to the other. We pray for a deeper love for our brethren and sisters in Christ. We ask thee, Father, to remember all that grieve and mourn, especially during this past week. We lift the Watson family again to thee, mindful of the Kearns family. We want to ask thee to remember the Kyle family there at Six Mile Cross and the Walsh's too at Ardara. Lord, may all of these families know round about, underneath, bearing them up, those everlasting arms, those arms that never grow weary, those arms that never tire. May they know the comfort in their hearts today that only the Lord can give by his presence, by his spirit, and by his word. Remember Kieran and Renata at this happy time for them. We thank you for the safe birth of little Ezra. We commit them to thee. We pray that they will know the help of God and wisdom from on high as they bring this little one up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember how Ezra in the Old Testament was a man that stood out and used for God. And Lord, put your hand upon this little lad and use him in this city. Use him, Father, in this day and generation, even in a similar manner. Abide with us now around your word. Come and bless us, Father. And we ask that you'll minister and speak to all our hearts this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. It's the words of our text. The 23rd verse of the 12th chapter, 1 Samuel. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. We're thinking of some Bible characters, lessons and challenges from their lives. We're going to think a little about Samuel. Today we thought about his mum or his mother Hannah at the midweek service on Wednesday night past. The theme this morning is the prophet who led the nation by example in prayer. How powerful a good example is. Samuel's example certainly stands out. He could also be described as the prophet who challenged the prayerlessness of the nation. And he certainly did that in this passage. Let me ask you to think of the question at the outset. Consider this question honestly and carefully before God. Answer it in your own heart in the meeting this morning. The question is, how much time do you give to prayer? Now, we're not asking how much time you used to give to prayer, or how much time you believe that you should give to prayer. The question is, ask yourself, how much time do you presently give to prayer, to seeking the Lord's face? It is true, brethren and sisters, we all believe that prayer is a great privilege, probably the greatest privilege in the Christian life, that we who are mere mortals can talk personally and directly to God. We believe that there's great power in prayer. True believing prayer can accomplish great things. We believe as well that prayer should be given priority in the Christian life. It ought to be given first place in all of our lives. Those are the things that we believe and speak about. But the tragedy today is, in many churches and in many Christians' lives, is that those things are not practiced as they should. Oh yes, we talk about them, and we declare, we affirm our belief in them, but all too often, that's just as far as it goes. We don't carry them out as we ought, and the sooner we realize that as the Lord's people, the better. We may not want to admit it, we may not want to face up to it, but the reality is this, brethren and sisters, that the greatest problem, the greatest blight in the Church of Jesus Christ today is prayerlessness. the prayerlessness of the people of God. If we only stop to think about it, the amount of time that we give to prayer is a shame, a disgrace, even an insult to God. There are many Christians who can go through a day, they can even go through a week and never once stop to talk to God in prayer. And it goes without saying, brethren and sisters, that that ought not to be the case. There are Christians who can go merrily through life without ever attending a single prayer meeting of the church. Can I ask you just to think back over the last week, count up approximately the total time that you gave to prayer, and then ask yourself, is it anything like what it should be? Remember the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? And that question's asked as if that's the least that's to be expected. Did you spend an hour? Have you ever spent a single solid hour in prayer before God? Could you say that all the time that you gave to prayer in the last week, if you added it up, would it amount to an hour in total? Sadly, the amount of time that some Christians spend in prayer every day, it's not measured in hours. It's not even measured in minutes. Sometimes it's measured in seconds. Give God a quick hello at the beginning of the day, and an even quicker good night at the close of the day, and never once stop in between to take time to talk to the Savior. You think of it, if we treat it anyone else like that, if we acted like that in any other relationship, it wouldn't be long until that relationship was over. If we were always too busy to take time to talk to someone that we professed that we cared about, someone that we professed to love, if we're always too busy to speak to that person, well, it wouldn't be long until that person forgot about you, and rightly so. And yet, if you're truthful today, that's how many Christians treat the Lord. You talk to other people for long periods of time. You would stand and gossip and not notice the time going past. You would talk about everybody and everything, lift the telephone and talk for any length of time. But in comparison, how sad it is that many Christians can't and don't talk long to God. Maybe don't talk to the Lord for 5 minutes every day. So let's not bluff ourselves, brethren and sisters. Let's not try to cover it over. Prayerlessness is abroad today. It's not a pleasant subject. It's not something we like to talk about freely and openly. But the reality is, if we want to see revival again in this land, if we want to witness God at work in this city and in this district, then this is something that must be considered. It's something that must be faced up to and examined. And it's something that must be dealt with in all of our lives. And it's a subject that Samuel deals with to some extent in the words of our text. This is verse 23. He says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He's talking here about prayerlessness, about ceasing to pray. And I want us to consider this subject in our meeting this morning. Remember the prophet who led the nation by example. And that's exactly what Samuel did as far as his prayer life was concerned. And he certainly did, as we will see, challenge the prayerlessness of the whole nation at this time. And let's pray that challenge will go out all across our land, even in the days in which we live. Notice, first of all, the character of prayerlessness. In what fashion should we look at prayerlessness? Well, look at what Samuel says. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Notice that he says, sin against the Lord. You know, to many Christians, prayerlessness is just a minor thing, minor detail, minor defect in my Christian life. They look upon it as something of no great significance. If they go through a day or a week without praying, they look upon it just as an oversight. We didn't really do anything wrong. We just did too many other things to do to fit prayer in. Prayerlessness is looked upon as a light thing. But I ask you to take careful note, because that's not how God looks upon prayerlessness. In God's eyes, this is a very serious thing, because God says prayerlessness is sin. Think of the words of the text. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. The verse is teaching plainly, brethren and sisters, that the child of God who lives a prayerless life is the child of God who has sin in their life. Sometimes we hear a call in church meetings, and it's good and encouraging to hear it, a call to emphasize sin, emphasize the sin in the church, the sin in the nation. Well, here's a sin, brethren and sisters, a sin in the life of the church that needs to be highlighted, needs to be emphasized. Here's something we all need to understand today, that prayerlessness is sin. Can I point out to you, if you haven't already realized it before, there are more commands in the Bible to pray than there are concerning any other subject. The Savior said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Savior said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Paul said, pray without ceasing. He made the great appeal as well, brethren, pray for us. Those are just a few examples, but it's clear there are more commands in the Bible to pray than there are concerning any other subject. And if God commands you to do something as a Christian and you don't do it, well, plain and simple, that's sin. If you know there's something that you should do as a Christian and you don't do it, well, that's sin. James said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You can dress it up whatever way you want. You can paint over it as you please. But regardless of what you call it and regardless of how you describe it, God says that prayerlessness is nothing short of sin in the life of the church and in the life of the Christian. Can I ask you, is this sin found in your life? Are you a prayerless Christian? You may not have committed the sin of lying or idolatry or backbiting or worldliness or the sin of immorality, but you have to admit this morning that the sin of prayerlessness is in your life. Notice as well, not just the character, but the companion of prayerlessness. What is the companion of prayerlessness? What is it that goes hand in hand with ceasing to pray? Well, the answer is powerlessness. You look at the verses 16 through to 18. Samuel says, now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? In Israel there was no rain in wheat harvest. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord. So he's going to pray publicly here. And he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. His prayers were answered. And the effect of it was that all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. So here we learn, brethren and sisters, what a great example of the power Samuel had in prayer. Samuel was a man who had power with God. We could describe it like that, without hesitation. When he prayed, he witnessed the intervention of heaven. When Samuel prayed, he saw a manifestation of God's power. But notice what the end of the 18th verse tells us. All the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Because Samuel was a man of prayer, he not only had power with God, he also had power with men. He had influence in society, influence upon the generation of his day. There was a famous Welsh preacher way back at the beginning of the 20th century, R.B. Jones, Rhys Bevan Jones. He was a friend of Dr. Paisley's father. In fact, Dr. Paisley's father, Pastor Paisley, sent some of the first students over to a Bible college that R.B. Jones commenced in the Rhondda Valley when Dr. Paisley came to visit with us in South Wales for the opening of the Buryport Church in 1994. He wanted to go up the Rhondda Valley and visit R.B. Jones's church, and we had a very enjoyable day out with him, seeing all the sights connected with R.B. Jones at that time. R.B. Jones was known for his prayer life. During his ministry in Porth in the Rhondda Valley, the fair came to town, and the owner of the fair said he was going to open the fair on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day. Whenever R.B. Jones heard about that, he announced publicly in the Sabbath day meeting, "I'm going to be praying about that." Well, that statement, the word of what R.B. Jones had said, got out into the community, and the owner of the fair came to see him. And he said, "Mr. Jones, we'll not open the fair on the Lord's Day." Do you know the reason he gave for not opening the fair on the Lord's Day? He said, "I've heard about your prayers. I've heard about how God answers your prayers. Power with God, power with men." But brethren and sisters, don't miss it. The reason that he had power, the reason Samuel had power, was because he was a man of prayer. It was his prayers that gave him his power. But you think of it as well, if he had been a prayerless man, he would also have been a powerless man. Because there can be no power in the life of the Christian, no power in the life of the church, without prayer, without seeking the face of God. And brethren and sisters, we need to realize that today. No prayer, that means no power. May God burn that into your souls this morning. One of the reasons why God is not intervening in this land of ours in power is because God's people have ceased to pray. What does 2 Chronicles 7:14 teach us? That verse we're so familiar with. It was presented particularly on the internet so much over these last 2 years. If my people, remember it starts with the church, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So it's clear, prayerlessness is hindering revival. It's prayerlessness that's holding back the power of God. Let us make no mistake about it. Prayerlessness and powerlessness, they cannot be separated. There can be no power in our lives, in the ministry of the church, without prayer, without wrestling with God at the throne of grace. If we want to see revival, here's a must, brethren and sisters. We must give ourselves to prayer. If we want to see the heavens rent and God at work in power, then we must pray without ceasing. Did you ever think about the power in prayer that the early church had? Acts chapter 2, they prayed earnestly, prayed for 10 days consistently, and God poured out his Spirit upon them on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John were released from prison, the church again gave itself to prayer. And the very building, when the Spirit of God came into that meeting, the very building where they were gathered, where they were assembled, was shaken to its very foundation. Acts chapter 12, we were thinking of that a little when we studied the life of John Mark over the last couple of Sabbath days. In Acts 12, when Peter had been taken prisoner, the church prayed, and God intervened in a miraculous and a powerful manner to secure Peter's release. So there's no question of the fact, brethren and sisters, the early church had power. And they had power because they prayed. We highlighted in the tribute that we brought to Mrs. Watson on Thursday, whenever the gospel mission was held here in Armagh in 1965, for nearly 6 weeks, almost every night, Mr. Paisley and those that were with him, they went back to the Watson home. There was a sit-down supper that was provided by our sister and the family. And after the sit-down supper, there were seasons of prayer. Some of them that continued on into maybe 1 o'clock, into the wee hours of the morning. They were pleading with God. They were wrestling with God for this city. That's one of the reasons why the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord came down upon those meetings, as it did, brethren and sisters. They had power because they prayed. And why is the church no power today, brethren and sisters? You know, we can dodge that question, but it's a vital question to face up to. And the answer to the question is because there is no prayer. Why have God's people today no power with God and no power with men? Well, it's because largely we're a prayerless people. Let me impress this truth upon you. And know that God will come today by His Spirit and write it indelibly upon the heart of every Christian in this meeting. Where there is no prayer, there is always no power. The two are companions. They cannot be separated. The reason for the powerlessness in the land today, the powerlessness in the church, the powerlessness in the lives of Christians, is the prayerlessness that is so widely abroad. The final thing I'll mention is the cure for prayerlessness. What is the cure, brethren and sisters, for this condition? Well, Samuel gives us the answer. Think again of the words of the text towards the end of the verse. But I will teach you the good and the right way. What Samuel's saying is, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And the way that I'm going to teach you is by my example. I will teach you the good and the right way. And how vital that is, men and women. That's why we took the title for this message. Samuel was a prophet who led the nation by example in prayer. And that's one of the great needs of the hour, of the days in which we live. Did you ever ask yourself, how did Samuel learn to pray? How did he become a mighty man of prayer? How did prayer become the habit of his life? How was that, brethren and sisters? Well, he learned it from example. He learned it from his mother's example. Hannah, by her own prayer life, taught him the importance, the priority that ever should be put upon prayer. As I mentioned a little earlier, we considered something of that in the midweek service on Wednesday night past. Think of the name given to this child at his birth by his mother. Samuel means asked of God. It was a constant reminder right through his life of his mother's prayers. Every time somebody called his name, Samuel, they knew it meant asked of God. It reminded him of his mother, of his mother's prayer life. It reminded him of the power that there was in prayer. So, brethren and sisters, his mother taught him by example. And he did the same. He taught Israel by his example. You think of the disciples, whenever they saw the Savior praying, we're told, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples, or one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As they watched the Savior pray, what a challenge. What a challenge his life. What a challenge his prayer life was to them to pray more. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? Be an example of the believers. Do you know, brethren and sisters, the greatest thing that you could be as a Christian in your home, in your church, in your community, is an example. An example of a Christian. A real, genuine example of a believer, a child of God. And especially in the light of what we are considering this morning, an example in the place of prayer, as Samuel and Hannah were those many years ago. You think of this. Do you want your children to live a life of prayer? Do you want your children and your grandchildren to attend faithfully the prayer meetings of the church? Do you want other Christians to come to the prayer meetings of this church, especially the young people of the congregation? Well, here's what you need to do. Step up to the mark. and set them the right example as a Christian. You just think for a moment, if they followed your example today, the way that you're living at this moment, on a Sunday evening, would it lead them to the prayer meeting in the hall downstairs? On a midweek night, would your example lead them to the house of God, to the prayer meeting of the church? You know, maybe the reality is your example is a hindrance and a stumbling block to others. Some in the church, they're saying, well, they're so-and-so, and they don't go to the prayer meeting. And if they don't need to go, I don't need to go either. It mustn't really be that important. Just in closing, let me say to you, brethren and sisters, may God deliver us. May God save us from prayerlessness. I want to exhort you today. Here really is, we look out upon the spiritual state of our country, the spiritual state of our church. Here's the great need. And I exhort you, let us all so live. Let us all so pray that we will always be able to declare the words of Samuel in our text today as our own testimony. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. May the Lord speak to us today. May he take his word. May he write it powerfully upon every heart, every person's heart that has heard this message today. We're going to sing 640 as we close the service. We'll take these words as the prayer of our heart. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. We'll sing all of the verses. When we get to verses 4 and 5, if you're not planning to stay for the communion this morning, you'll have opportunity then to leave the service. If you're staying behind, as we said a little earlier, remember just to stay in the seat where you are, and we'll be able to work with that. We'll be able to serve you when we come to that point in the communion service, just in the pew we are sitting at present. So 640, we'll stand as we sing, please.